Our first scripture lesson this morning comes from Acts 3, verses 12 through 19. Peter is speaking to the Jews at a temple, at a place called Solomon's Porch, on the east side of the temple, where Jesus had walked and taught. Many thought Peter and John had performed a miracle on a lame beggar to stand and walk again. Listen to Peter's words in this verse. When Peter saw it, he addressed the people. "You Israelites, why do you wonder at this? Or why do you stare at us, as though by our own power or piety we had made him walk? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the God of our ancestors, has glorified his servant Jesus, whom you handed over and rejected in the presence of Pilate, though he had decided to release him. But you rejected the holy and righteous one and asked to have a murderer given to you, and you killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses. And by faith in his name itself has made this man strong, whom you see and know, and the faith that is through Jesus has given him this perfect health in the presence of all of you. And now, my friends, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers. In this way, God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, that his Messiah would suffer. Repent, therefore, and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our second lesson is taken from John, chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. See what love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now. What we will be has not yet been revealed. What we do is this: when he is revealed, we will be like him, for he will see him as he is. And all who have this hope in him purify themselves just as he is pure. Everyone who commits sin is guilty of lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that he was revealed to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. No one who abides in him sins. No one who sins has either seen him or known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Everyone who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our gospel lesson comes from Luke, the 24th chapter, verses 36 through 48. This is taking place in the upper room on on Easter Sunday. While they were talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you frightened? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch me and see. For a ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While in their joy they were disbelieving and still wondering, he said to them, "Have you anything to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish and took it, and he took it and ate it in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Who are you? How do you identify yourself? I suspect most of us begin with our names. And if I wanted to be formal, I would say I am Richard Henry Dixon. This is the name that my parents gave me. My middle name is the same as my father's first name. And so there's that connection with family. I grew up by being called Dick by my family and friends. And when I went off to college, a friend of mine started to call me Duke. I didn't like it at first. He gave me that name because he said I was walking like John Wayne. It probably wouldn't have stuck except that my roommate really liked it. And he made it stick. And by the time I left college, I had ample opportunity to have dropped it, but continued to keep it because now I find identity in it. I might also add that at the time I got this nickname, the name Richard Dixon was very similar to another person's name who held this high office in the land and who was not very popular at the time. So one way we identify ourselves is through our names. Perhaps we also find our identity in our ethnicity, our ancestors. Many of us can trace that back. For many of us, it comes from Europe, England, Scotland, Ireland, France, Germany, Hungary, Spain, Italy, all those European countries. For others, perhaps it comes from more of a Hispanic background, Mexico, Honduras, Guatemala, Peru, Brazil, those countries in Central and South America. For some, it's Asian, China, Japan, Korea, Vietnam, Thailand. Then there's also from Africa. But unless you are Native American, we've all immigrated here at one time or another. I can trace my ancestry back to before the American Revolution. Others of you may be first or second generation into this country. Some of our ancestors, they were welcomed with open arms when they came here. Others were not so welcomed, and they had to struggle to become accepted and assimilated into our society. And then there were those that were just brought here by force and enslaved for many years. I'm part of a racial equity group that's been meeting for 8 months now. We meet once a month. And my identity in that group also kind of goes back to my heritage, my ancestry. And that is, I am a white, straight male who has experienced and benefited from white privilege. I may or may not like that title or that identity, but it is an accurate and true statement. What I do with that is what matters. So that's part of my identity too. Sometimes we find our identity in where we're from, our location. I'm from Georgia. I am a Southerner and proud of it, I might say. When I went to seminary in the Chicago area, the Southerners knew each other and we really bonded together. We were kind of like family together. And I think part of it was we'd never experienced winters like we experienced in Chicago. And we were just cold, so we got close together to try to keep each other warm. But there's a difference between how rural people and urban people identify themselves. In rural areas, it tends to be you identify yourself with your family or your homestead. Well, that's John. He is Joe and Jane Smith's son, and they're at the Two Cow Farm over there in the next county over. And that's how they're recognized. That's their identity. It's kind of like Jesus of Nazareth. But sometimes with that identity comes maybe more than what you want to know. Can anything good come from Nazareth? Was the question Nathanael asked. In the urban areas, we tend to identify ourselves by what we do. What is our profession? I'm a teacher, or a banker, a police officer, a firefighter, or for myself, I am a pastor. And we identify ourselves by what we do. And there's a danger here, because if we're successful, it can go to our heads, and we can kind of get a big head about who we are and how good we are. But if we don't like what we're doing, and we see ourselves as failing at it, that doesn't go to our head, that goes to our heart. And it crushes us, who we think we are. When I graduated from seminary, I wanted to become a hotshot inner city pastor. And I wasn't connected with any denomination. And I was tired of Chicago winters. And I decided I would pick my city. And so I chose Atlanta, Georgia. I headed back home, closer to home. And since I wasn't affiliated with any denomination or any church and had no call at that time, I had to find work. And I needed to find it pretty quickly so that I could put food on the table and gas in the car. And I found a job as a security guard at the Atlanta airport, one of those that checked it would help see through the security lines and do the x-ray machine of your baggage and such. And I discovered something that I didn't like about myself then. I was at the busiest airport in the country, the closest one to my hometown. And every now and then, someone that I knew from school or from Macon, Georgia, would come through the security line. And what I discovered was, my first instinct was to kind of try not to let them see me, if I could. And if they did, what I wanted to do was to run up to them and say, you know, this is temporary, this uniform. I have a master's degree. I'm going to be a hotshot inner city pastor. Just wait. I was ashamed of what I was doing. It was a job, a legitimate job. It was paying my bills, but I was ashamed of it. And I saw myself as a failure because of it. Funny thing is, God was using that experience, and one that I had a few years later, another job I had that I thought was beneath me. God was using those experiences to prepare me for the inner city church that I would be pastoring in Philadelphia. Because many of the people there worked at similar type jobs. Sometimes we find our identity in titles. My real formal title is the Reverend Dr. Richard H. Dixon. I don't ever use that. The closest I come, if I have to sign something, I might be Reverend Richard H. Dixon or Dr. Richard H. Dixon. If I'm trying to impress somebody, you know, some letter going out to some organization or something, and I want to impress them. But for the most part, I don't like titles. And every now and then I get called Reverend Dixon or Dr. Dixon, and I don't get excited about that. With the kids and youth, I like being called Pastor Duke. Otherwise, I just like being called Duke. I like the informality of it. I like that we're on kind of equal terms when we go by first names. Sometimes we find our identity with our social or economic status. Where our house is located, the neighborhood, the community, who we hang out with. You know, we get our self-worth, our good self, positive self-image through those people that we associate with. Other things that we might use are certain roles that we have. I am we are either a husband or a wife, maybe, or a father or a mother, a son or a daughter, a brother or a sister, an aunt or an uncle, a niece or a nephew, or a grandparent. But whatever that role might be, we kind of hook our identity on that. The identity that I've left out so far that I think is the most important was described in the letter of 1 John, where it says, we are children of God. And there's two ways we can look at being children of God. One is to make it all-encompassing. Everybody here on earth is a child of God because God has created us. Or we can look at it a little more narrow way, that we are children of God as Christians. We belong to the same family. It's kind of like this, the difference between paternity and fatherhood. In paternity, the person is the one who was involved in the creation of this human being. The sperm hooks up with the egg, and lo and behold, a few months later, we have a baby. That can be paternity. Fatherhood involves a loving, caring, close relationship. That's what we hope for. That's what's ideal. And this is what we have in God. When we have come through faith in Christ, we are adopted into the family of God, which is how Paul kind of describes, Apostle Paul describes it. And in the first John, we are children of God, born through Jesus Christ. A few years ago, I did a sermon on our identity in Christ. And it was brought back to my mind a couple of weeks ago. Tal Bone, it was at our mission committee meeting, and he I forget what the conversation was entailing, but he brought up what I said, how we should identify ourselves, that we are saints of God who sometimes sin. And when he said that, it brought back memory of the sermon. And I got to tell you, as a preacher, it's always wonderful when somebody reminds you of something that you've said. And this was said years ago, so it had to have really made an impact. I enjoyed that. But I remember the sermon well because I said we often identify ourselves as sinners saved by grace. And while that is a true statement, that's not how we should be seeing ourselves now. That's almost like looking at the glass and saying it's half empty. It's the pessimistic view. I am a sinner. That's my primary identity, but I've been saved by grace. And I said the way we ought to see ourselves is that we are saints of God, children of God, we could say, who occasionally sin. The glass is full. We see ourselves as full now, or half full. And this is how we see ourselves, not as sinners, but as children of God, as saints of God, that God is changing and transforming. And we see this in our other two scripture lessons today, in the resurrection. Jesus is there right before the disciples in flesh and blood, saying, here are my hands, touch them. You can see the nail holes. I'm right here, flesh and bone. And then he took fish and he ate it. Ghosts don't eat fish. And then he opened their eyes to see the scriptures of how the Christ, the Messiah, had to come and die and then be raised up. And he said, now you are witnesses to this. You are witnesses how people can have this new life. And then in the Acts reading, we see how this was put into practice. You had the Peter and John, they had healed a man that had been lame, who couldn't walk, and gave him a new identity, one of healing and wholeness. And then the crowd had gathered and they start talking to them. And he basically, Peter, accused them of being murderers. You are the ones who are responsible for the killing of Jesus. That's your identity. But it doesn't have to be your identity. You can repent and turn away from your sin, and you will experience something new, a new life. And that's what we're called to do. We're called to be these children of God. We are called to be this beloved children of God, and because we are children of God, we're also children of the King if we acknowledge Jesus as King. And And you know, that gives that nickname Duke a little more importance now when you talk royalty. Just so you know. A little respect here. But we're all beloved children of God if we have put our faith in Christ and we start to walk with him. And in this process, God begins to shape and to mold us. We read about this in the First John letter because it talks about how much God loves us and that God is love. And because God loves us, we're able to love others. So we're part of the family. And we're also part of the family business, which is the kingdom of God. So we're working to bring about the kingdom of God here on earth as it already exists in heaven. So we are children of God. That is our identity. When someone says, "Who are you?" perhaps we begin with that. So I want to take a moment and let you have some silent prayer. Let you ask yourself, who am I? And what does it mean in the ways that I identify myself? So let us pray. I will close in a little bit with amen. And Bill, when I say amen, you can start the next hymn. Amen.